The sermon is entitled, Slaying the Lamb of God. Every year at this time, we commemorate the death of Jesus Christ for the sins of mankind. This substitute death was prophesied many hundreds of years before, thousands of years now, in the Old Testament, starting in the book of Genesis. Let's open to Genesis 3 and verse 15. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. God was talking to Satan, and he prophesied the coming of Jesus, called the seed in this passage, and the sacrifice that Jesus would have to make in order to bruise the head of Satan's power over all humans. Throughout the Old Testament, there are many prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. There are prophecies about where he would be born. There are prophecies about his parentage. Prophecies about his life, his death, his resurrection, all in the Old Testament. That is why the Old Testament is just as important to the testimony of the Bible as the New Testament. In fact, the only Bible Jesus, Paul, Peter, John, and the other apostles had to use was the Old Testament. All scriptures used by Jesus and his apostles to prove their doctrine came from the Old Testament. One single event, more than any other, gave a serious and detailed outline of the event that would change the whole world: the death of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, on the cross. That was in the Old Testament Passover, when the Israelites were led by God out of slavery in Egypt. Well, what does the Old Testament Passover, with blood and lambs and that sort of thing, have to do with the death of Jesus on the cross for our sins? Well, the story begins with the last and final plague in God's plan for the destruction of Egypt. That final plague was the worst and most destructive of all, the death of the firstborn. Israel was spared from that plague, but only if they followed the clear instructions given to them by God in order to save themselves. We start with those instructions in Exodus 12. We start in verse 1 of Exodus 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household." Israel had been in captivity for hundreds of years, long enough to forget God and his holy calendar. God had to reestablish the authority of his own calendar with the people of Israel. And on the 10th day of the first month, called Nisan, Israel was commanded to select a special lamb. Exodus 12 and verse 5. "The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect." This lamb had to be a young male and have no defects. The Bible tells us that Jesus was a young man, just 33 years old when he was crucified. And he was without sin. He had no sin. He had no defects. The lamb that Israelites selected represented Jesus, the real Lamb of God. The selected lamb had to be perfect. This parallels, or is a symbol of, the selection of Jesus on his entry to Jerusalem for the spring feast on the 10th day of the first month, the same day that the Israelites in Egypt selected the Passover lamb. Please turn to Matthew 21 and verse 1. We're going to read Matthew 21 and 1 through 11. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them, and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he had come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Well, who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." The crowds of Jerusalem had selected Jesus as the Messiah. They cried out, "Hosanna, Son of David! Blessed who comes in the name of the Lord." They recognized Jesus' messiahship on the 10th day of the first month. They did this even as the Passover lamb was selected in Egypt on the 10th day of the first month. Now we continue in verse 6 of Exodus 12. "Take care of these lambs until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight." This command in Exodus 12, verse 6, is the actual type or symbol of the death of Jesus. The way they killed the lamb was to cut a vein in the lamb's throat and let the blood pour out onto the ground. Now, they did collect some in a basin so that they could use that to cover their houses with the blood as a sign. But the rest of it, they let dump out on the ground. Now, let's turn to Leviticus 17 and verse 13. Leviticus 17 and verse 13. "Whatsoever man of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you who hunts and catches any animal or bird that may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with dust." And Jesus' blood was poured out on the ground, just as the blood of the Passover lamb. Please turn to Romans 3 and verse 24. Romans 3 and verse 24. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith." Some of the blood of the Passover lamb was then put on the tops and sides of the door frames of the Israelites' homes. And the Israelites, God commanded, stay inside under the protection of the sign of the lamb's blood. Exodus 12, verse 7. "Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs." Now when God came to the Israelites' houses and he saw the blood, he passed over them. He moved on to the next house. If God saw no blood, he went inside and killed the firstborn. If any firstborn was caught outside and not under the blood, he also was killed. Let's continue in verse 12. "On that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." Jesus' blood covers us so that the death penalty does not fall on our heads. Just like the blood on the houses of the Israelites was a sign that God would not kill them. The same is true about the blood of Jesus. We don't have to pay the death penalty anymore, because that blood of Jesus is the symbol that he already paid the penalty for us. The way now is open to us who are New Testament Christians. That way is now open to eternal life. The Israelites then ate the lamb, and nothing could be left. Verse 8. We're going back a little bit to verse 8 of Exodus 12. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs, and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some of it is left until the morning, you must burn it. The Bible says that we are to eat the body of Christ by eating the Passover bread. This we find in the New Testament. It is the bread from heaven that gives life. John 6, verse 48. John 6, verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give you is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The Israelites had to eat the Passover lamb quickly, completely dressed and ready to leave. They left Egypt in the early morning hours of that same night after eating the Passover lamb. Verse 11 of Exodus 12. This is how you will eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. The Israelites had to leave Egypt so fast that there was not enough time to let the bread rise and get puffed up with yeast. They took only flat or unleavened bread with them. And the following 7 days was to represent a time of cleansing. During this next 7 days, they were commanded by God to eat only unleavened bread. Let's continue on in verse 14 of Exodus 12. Verse 14 of Exodus 12. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. That's called unleavened bread. On the first day, remove all the yeast from your houses, for whosoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. Verse 16, on the first day hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. That's why we have two holy days during the days of unleavened bread, because God says we are to have a sacred assembly. We are to gather on a holy day. Gather together on the first day and on the seventh day. Do not work at all on these days except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. Celebrate the feast, verse 17. Celebrate the feast of unleavened bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. In the first month you are to eat bread made without yeast, from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day. For 7 days no yeast is to be found in your houses, and whosoever eats anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel. Whether he is an alien or native born, eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread. And so, we who are New Testament Christians observe these days according to God's commands. That's why we remove any yeast from our houses according to what He tells us, And then that's why we have two holy days, first day and seventh day. And that's why we keep a time called the Days of Unleavened Bread. Now, in the New Testament, we can find in the Bible New Testament Christians keeping the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread according to God's commands. We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6 through 8. Paul is speaking here. He's writing to the Corinthian church, and he says, Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? That's a tongue twister. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Peter says that Paul's writings are scripture. They're scriptural. They're part of the New Testament canon. And in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8, Paul is describing the Corinthian church keeping the Passover and keeping the Days of Unleavened Bread. This is proof that the apostolic church was keeping the annual feast days. And they ate unleavened bread for 7 days to show their desire to live sinless lives. Leavening is the symbol of sin in the Bible. And that's why during the Days of Unleavened Bread, we put leaven out of our houses and we do not eat leaven for 7 days. We do not eat bread that's made with yeast or has yeast or anything put into it for that reason. Verse 24 of Exodus 12, let's go back there now. Verse 24 of Exodus 12. Verse 24, obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as He promised, observe this ceremony. And then when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean? You will tell them, it is the Passover of the Lord, who passed over the houses of Israelites in Egypt and spared us when He struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. Now some people might say, that's fine, the Passover and unleavened bread, that's for the Israelites, not the New Testament Christian. The problem with that argument is that the Corinthian church were mostly Gentiles. They were not mostly Israelites. The Corinthian church, for the most part, was a Gentile church. And so these were Gentile Christians keeping the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread in 1 Corinthians 5. And so people who say that these Old Testament feast days are for Jews, but not for Gentile Christians, have not read the passage in 1 Corinthians 5. They do not know the truth about these holy days. They do not understand the meaning of leading a sinless life. They don't understand that the Old Testament Passover is a symbol and a sign and a very strong prophecy about the Messiah to come, who was to die for our sins and shed His blood out on the ground so that we don't have to die. They miss these things because they do not want to hear the prophecies and the commandments of God that are in the Old Testament. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that they miss out on so much by not keeping these days. I'm sorry they don't have the understanding that keeping these days bring. I'm sorry they don't participate with others in putting leavening out of their homes as a symbol of putting leavening out of their lives I'm sorry they're not keeping these 7 days and not eating unleavened bread as a sign that they want to live a sinless life. I'm sorry. But they will not listen to God. The Israelites of old did not understand the meaning of the Passover and the shed blood that covered their houses to protect them. They didn't understand the meaning to come, even as some today do not understand the meaning of old. We understand today because Jesus came to fulfill the symbols of the real Passover lamb. But even though the Israelites of old did not understand its meaning, they obeyed anyway and were spared from the final last plague. It is important to obey God even if we don't understand the full meaning of what God commands. Let's continue on, Exodus 12, verse 37. The Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. Many other people went up with them, as well as a large amount of livestock, both flocks and herds. With the dough they had brought from Egypt, they baked cakes of unleavened bread. The dough was without yeast, because they had been driven out of Egypt and did not have time to prepare food for themselves. Now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years, and at the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt, because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt. And on this night, all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor God for the generations to come. And verse 50, all the Israelites did just what the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, and on that very day the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions. The Israelites obeyed, and they were saved and led out of Egypt. If we obey, we can be saved by Jesus' blood and be led out of slavery to sin. The Passover ceremony of the Old Testament is full of meaning for the New Testament Christian. It is a mistake to throw the Old Testament out the window and say we only need the New Testament. If we do that, we throw away these very important scriptures that I just read to you that help us understand the full meaning of Jesus' death on the cross and his sacrifice for each and every one of us.